please listen to me this morning. Tonight, we are going to finish up our series on the church in the last days. I had intended on preaching that this morning and finishing it up, our complete last sermon. Something began to burn in my heart a few days ago. And so I feel compelled that I must preach this. And I want you to listen to me and listen well. I'll have you remain seated because we're going to be turning to three different passages. I won't have you standing like we usually do. But this is important to me, and I believe the Lord has showed me something through study about what the devil wants to do. And listen to me. The very last point is the most sinister thing. And I want you to listen to me very well. Because if he can't get you, he wants to get our children. So I want you to just take your Bible, just remain seated this morning. And the first passage I want you to turn to is Exodus chapter 8. Exodus chapter 8. And we're going to begin reading at verse number 25. Now before we get there, once you get there, I have a lengthier than normal introduction, but not a lengthier than normal message, so everybody can relax. I want to give you some background information on this scripture, and we'll get started. Exodus chapter 1 begins where the book of Genesis ends. The children of Jacob and their offspring have multiplied greatly in Egypt. A new king, a Pharaoh, has come on the scene, and out of fear of the increasing number of Israelites, he begins to enslave them and force them to do hard labor. He orders the Hebrew midwives to kill every male child born. Chapter 2 tells us that Moses is born, and then he's hidden by his mother, who eventually puts him in a little ark and to float across the Nile, and he is then rescued by Pharaoh's daughter. It's a wonderful story. Moses grows up, and one day he kills an Egyptian who was beating a Hebrew, and then he has to flee Egypt. He goes to the land of Midian, and he marries Sapphira, and he's there until God reveals himself to him in the burning bush at approximately the age of 80. Moses is instructed to take his brother Aaron and go tell Pharaoh that God says, "Let my people go." Chapter 5 begins with Moses and Aaron's first appearance before Pharaoh, which angers him so much that he makes the life of the children of Israel more difficult by making them gather their own straw. In chapter 7 then, Moses and Aaron return on two different occasions with signs and wonders before the Pharaoh, but it's of no avail. And then we arrive at chapter 8, where we are here this morning, and the frogs and the lice and the flies are turned loose on the Egyptians. And suddenly Pharaoh is ready to let the people go and sacrifice, but listen, only on his terms. He tries to make a deal with Moses three different times, twice in chapter 8, we'll see, and then one more time in chapter 10. So the title of my message this morning is Don't Make a Deal with the Devil, because he's always going to come out on top. In the Bible, now listen to me so I can set this up to make the spiritual application this morning. In the Bible, Pharaoh is one of the 18 types of the Antichrist. He represents the Antichrist. He's a type of the devil. Egypt is a type of the world. The Passover lamb is a type of Jesus Christ, our salvation. So I believe that there is great insight to be obtained by looking at these three times that Pharaoh offers a deal to let the people go and sacrifice. I want you to remember that Passover lamb is a type of our salvation, that when they put the blood over the door, the death angel passed by them and didn't kill them. You know, it's that song we sing, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." And all the Jews that kept the Passover were safe, and they were not touched by the death angel. So here's the spiritual application this morning. We'll get started. The devil does not want you to get covered by the blood, okay? The devil doesn't want you to get saved this morning. He wants you to go to hell. But if he can't stop you from being covered by the blood, saved by the blood of the crucified one, if he can't stop you from getting saved, then he will come at you and try to get you to compromise in three different ways. But you'll never come out good if you make a deal with the devil. So I want to look at these three different times that Pharaoh tried to make a deal with Moses, and then I want to make spiritual application about how the devil will try to make a deal with us. We'll read the first portion of Scripture, and then I'm going to ask Brother Roger Eunice to pray for us. Exodus chapter 8 and verse number 25. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, "Go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land." And Moses says, "It is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us." God, help us. Help us. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, the first thing I want you to see is this morning. Point number one. Pharaoh says, you can sacrifice, but you can't leave Egypt. Notice what he says there in verse number 25. He says, "Go ye sacrifice to your God," where? In the land. He don't mind you sacrificing. He said, "Okay, I can't stop you from sacrificing. This thing's getting out of hand. God's coming down on us. I can't stop that. But if you do sacrifice, do it in the land." The devil is okay. He says, "Okay, I can't stop you from getting saved, but I might be able to keep you in Egypt." Now, Egypt is a type of the world. And when I'm talking about the type of the world, I'm talking about the world system, the world entertainment, the way the world looks at things, world philosophies, the rudiments of the world. Now, do you know what the Bible said about that part of the world? The Bible tells you in James 4:4, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." I didn't write that. God said that. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. "Love not the world." Now, you love the people, but you don't love the world system. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." And then he tells you also, this is for us as Christians, 2 Corinthians 6. "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God. They shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." And he says, "I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, and saith the Lord Almighty." There is a song, I don't know if any of you have ever heard it. The chorus goes like this: "Lord, you took me out of Egypt, now take Egypt out of me." God's took us out of Egypt. And the devil says, "Okay, if I can't stop you from getting saved, I just want you to stay in that world. I want you to be mixed up with that world. I want you to be just as worldly as you can be." See, listen to me this morning. The devil knows that if he can't steal your soul, he can steal your testimony. He can steal your health. He can steal your power. The power of God on your life. He can steal your effectiveness. He can steal your witness. And he can steal your reward. It's a bad deal all the way around. Listen, folks, there's much, much more to eternity than just salvation. So the devil says, "Hey, I want you to be caught up in the world." That's what's wrong with modern-day Christianity. That's why in the church it has no power. We got too many folks in the church, and I don't believe they're all lost. I believe many of them are saved. But they're in that world. You can't tell the difference. I'm probably preaching to a Christian here today, and you do no separation in your life. You've gotten rid of nothing. You just hobnob with the world. You're just as worldly as you've ever been. And listen, if you think you're going to have any power, any witness to help be an influence to anybody to do different, you're crazy. And I'm going to tell you something else. This thing's not going to end well for you. Yes, you'll go to heaven when you die if you're really sane, but you will bomb out at the judgment seat of Christ. This business where everybody that's saved gets the same up in heaven, that's nonsense. The Bible doesn't teach that. Everybody that's saved doesn't get the same in heaven. You don't get the same inheritance. Those children that were faithful children get a better inheritance. It's got nothing to do with God's love, nothing to do with sonship, but it has your obedience has everything to do with inheritance. We don't all get the same inheritance. So he says this. He said, hey, man, you can sacrifice, but you can't leave Egypt. Number two, he says this. Listen to me now. We're building up on this. He says, you can sacrifice. You can leave Egypt, but don't go very far. Look there in Exodus chapter 8. Exodus chapter 8, verse number 28. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away. Entreat for me. And Moses said, behold, I go out from thee, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh for his service and from his people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully any more in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. And Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and he removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his service, and from his people. There remaineth not one. And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also, neither would he let the people go. He said, okay, all right. You're going to do the Passover. You don't want to stay in the land. You want to get out a little ways. Just don't go too far when you do it. Don't get over the top. Listen, if the devil can't stop you from getting saved and he can't stop you from realizing you need to get away from that world, he'll just try to keep you as close and intertwined with that world as he can. Today, there's so much church in the world and world in the church, they're indistinguishable. It's just a one big pile of slop. It's terrible. We are a joke to society as the local church. Why? Because we're all a bunch of stinking hypocrites. There ought to be something different between us and the lost world. Church in the world, world in the church. For an example, the devil says, well, he wants to read his Bible. I mean, I can stop him from reading his Bible. I just don't want him reading that King James Bible. Because the NIV is the popular translation. Well, I reckon he's going to go to church. I just don't want him going to a Bible-believing church. I don't mind him going to one of these charismatic deals. I don't mind him going to where the preacher sits on a stool in a little golf shirt and just talks and drinks coffee. I don't mind them going with the fog machine and the loud music and the praise the Lord, hallelujah. Yeah, it does a lot for your flesh, man. Hey, I'm not being super critical. I like that beady stuff too. Oh, let me rephrase that. My flesh does. The devil says, listen, if I can't stop you from enjoying preaching and singing, just make sure it's not biblical preaching and good God-honoring singing. See that? You see that? He said, okay, there's a little bit of spirituality about you. I can't stop you from getting saved. I can't stop you from seeing the need to separate, but don't get too far away from the world. I have my counterfeit. I have my counterfeit church, my counterfeit Bible, my counterfeit praise, all that stuff. I want you to be involved in that. Oh, yeah, you'll be among people where we pack out the sanctuaries. It'll be big, it'll be growing, it'll be swelling, but there's a difference between growing and swelling. As one evangelist said one time, he said, I was doing a revival, and the first day of the week of that revival, I went by a dog that had been hit, and he was on the side of the road. dead. He said, I went the other way to the church to the last night of the revival on Friday night. He said, I went back that same way I went Monday. He said, you know, it was a strange thing. That dog had been dead 5 days now, and he was bigger on Friday than he was on Monday. He said, was he growing or was he swelling? There's a lot of churches, brother, they're swelling. They're not growing. Death's got them bloated. Hey, if the devil realizes that you have done decided, I'm not going to drink, I'm not going to smoke, I'm not going to fornicate. The devil says, okay, just as long as I can get you to stay out of church and never get plugged in. You tell me about what all you don't do, what are you doing? Do you know what biblical separation is? It's getting away from something unto something. You know what Christ said over there about that fellow that had all them devils in him that time? He said the problem was when the devil is gone and it's sweeped and cleaned out, that more things come in worse than before because he takes the things out, but he don't put something in. You got to put something in, man. It's okay if you don't cuss anymore. Just as long as you keep your mouth shut to your lost co-workers and family members about Christ. You see that? You see what the devil's trying to do? Every time you whoop him, he's got a new compromise for you. He wants to keep you out of heaven. Okay, you get saved. I'm mostly preaching to saved people here today, all right? He wants you to stay in that world and be real worldly. Some of you have learned some things in it, and you know better than that. So now he says, okay, if you're coming out of the world, don't get too far out of the world. I mean, don't be some kind of fanatic or something. And like you are when you're at a ball game and hollering and screaming and cussing. Don't be a fanatic like you are at yard sales pushing people to get that dress. Don't be a fanatic like you are when you're on the boat or you're out in the woods. Just calm down and simmer down. Don't get too excited. Okay, if you don't smoke and you don't drink anymore, I'll put up with that as long as you don't get faithful in church. As long as you're more afraid of dying from disease than you are of facing me. And then number three, listen to me. This is the most sinister part of this message. Please listen to me. All you parents and grandparents, the devil says this. He says, okay, you can sacrifice. You can leave Egypt. And you can go on out there and get far away out in the wilderness, 3 days' journey. But don't take your children. You better listen to me. If the devil can't get you, he'll get your child. And many times he'll try to work through you just to get your child. Take your Bible and turn to one more passage. Exodus chapter 10, verse number 7. These are the three compromises that Pharaoh offered Moses. This is his third and final compromise. He realizes that he's going to have to let them go. And he realizes he can't keep them in the land. But he wants to keep their children. Verse number 7. And as Exodus 10:7, and Pharaoh's servant said unto him, how long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the man go that they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed? And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, go serve the Lord your God, but who are they that shall go? And Moses said, we will go with our young and our old, with our sons, with our daughters, with our flocks, with our herds will we go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go, and your little ones. Look to it, for it is evil before you. Notice what he says, verse number 11. Not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. He was willing to let everyone else leave, but the little ones. Why? Well, think about it. He could still train the little ones who were too young to know any better. Listen to me. He could still train the little ones who were too young to know any better. Maybe he lost their parents, but he can still get them through through the computer, through social media, through rearranging science and history in the public schools and the universities, through their buddies at school, through their backslidden parents that act one way at church, and you're a complete and ultimate hypocrite at home, and they see right through you. They see right through you. You're helping to turn your youngins over to the devil. That's what you're doing. Maybe he could get many years of work out of them. He said, well, I've lost the older ones, but they're still young. I can mold them. I can train them. And they're still young. They got a young life. I can get many years of my labor out of them. You ever think the devil may be thinking that way? I want to see how many years I can get out of these folks' children. And maybe he's thinking, if I can get rid of the older folks who keep talking about this Passover lamb, this Passover lamb, this Passover lamb. I'm sick of that. Following their God and leaving Egypt. Well, get them all out of the way, then I can tell them what I want to tell them. Train them like I want to train them. Mold them into what I want to mold them into. And I don't think it'll be that hard after all. Why is that? Because they've been growing up with parents. And I say one thing and do another. They've been growing up with parents. Don't mind if they miss church. But you're not missing that tournament. You're not missing that sporting event. Or that whatever you do. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care what it is. You know what you're telling your youngins? Church is important unless something better comes along. I expected this awkward silence during this portion. You can amen or oh me, brother. Listen, please listen to me. Just a few more minutes, would you listen to me? Folks, the devil wants our children. He wants them. He loves to get the children. Listen. He loves to get the children of the preachers and the Sunday school teachers and the deacons and the praying godly mother and grandmothers. Those are the ones he wants. And he's after them. If he can't send you to hell, he'd love to send your daughter to hell. And if he can't send you or your daughter to hell, he'd love to mess up her life. God help us. What is wrong with some of you? I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm trying to help you. I'm burdened for you. What in the name under heaven is wrong with some of you? You got one shot with them. Who cares if they excel academically in sports and whatever, if they are duds spiritually? I don't know what you're thinking, but you're blowing it. Because I did raise my younger in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and there was ways I blew it. But you sure are going to blow it if you don't even make a stab at it. Maybe he can keep you from getting out of Egypt. He may not be able to stop you from applying the blood, but maybe he can keep you in Egypt, and then maybe you will begin to look like an Egyptian. Maybe you'll begin to talk like an Egyptian or walk like an Egyptian. But then just maybe your child will turn to the gods of the Egyptians. It is so sad when parents get saved and then they backslide and raise their children up to go to hell. You got saved, you're going to heaven, but you just threw it all in. And you're going to be instrumental in them never receiving Jesus Christ because of your sorry, no good for nothing testimony. But that's what's happening. And that's what's going to happen when you try to make a deal with the devil. You know what's going to happen? He's going to get your family. In conclusion, I believe we can see just what the devil will consent to in order to get you to compromise. Listen to me, church. Any deal with the devil ensures that you get a bad deal. And you know what the devil's ultimate goal is? He wants your children. He wants our children. Are you saved here today? Am I speaking to some saved people here today? Then get out of Egypt. Go as far as you can. And you fight day and night on your knees for your children.